preaching, for me, I normally do not get knots in my stomach anymore, but this is one of those verses that really has me on a level of an anxiety, a level of wondering, because I've dealt with this in previous congregations. I know pastors that are dealing with conflict, and specifically these verses talk about how Christians and the church should deal with conflict. Now, who was to believe that there would be conflict in God's church, right? Surely we always get along, we always agree, right? There's no fighting, there's no disagreements, right? Isn't that God's church? But we all know, in order to have growth, in order to meet people where they are, we're going to have disagreement. It's in some ways, it's very healthy. It's what we do to get to the point of unity that can really determine if we are doing what God wants us to do or not. And so I'm just going to kind of walk through these verses this morning. Again, they hit home for me in a way that, again, it causes me a little bit of worry, a little bit of anxiety. I'll just be completely honest with you, because I've dealt with it in congregations. I wrote an entire thesis from my doctoral dissertation on it. But it says here in verse 15, if your brother or sister sins, now we're talking about a fellow Christian here, not somebody just out on the streets that doesn't believe in Christ. We're talking about a fellow brother or sister. Go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, if they listen to you, you have won them over. Now hear this, right? We are, as the church, supposed to call each other to accountability, right? We're supposed to be in some type of group together with fellow Christians. So if you're sinning, they call you out for your sins, right? And they call you to repentance. Now that's really troublesome, isn't it? How many of you feel comfortable with calling each other's sin out this morning? I'm not, right? Like, that's risky stuff. You know, you see someone in the church sinning, and you go and you tell them, hey, you need to get your act together. But guess what? We're supposed to do that, especially among the leadership, the council. The council is supposed to call each other's sin out from one another. And we are to do that privately first, aren't we? Now, I would challenge you in your own families. You should be calling each other's sin out from under the table. You need to get this stuff out in the open. Now, as Protestants, you know, we don't have a confessional booth. Now, some Lutheran churches do. But there's a real freedom in announcing your sins wide in the open, right? That somebody can hear it. It doesn't necessarily need to be the pastor or the priest, but it needs to be somebody that you trust and love and care for, that you can be honest with them. Say, I'm really struggling in this area, right? Maybe it's pride or anger or envy or lust or whatever it is. Keep sure I'm in the right verses here. In these verses, Jesus lays the foundation of reconciliation. See, we as Christians are called to be peacemakers, not passive bystanders. We have an active faith, right? We have a faith that we are supposed to be doing something with. It challenges us to approach conflict with love and humility. That's the number one. My hesitation here this morning is we don't want the congregation just all of a sudden calling each other's sins out without humility, right? We have to be humble and recognize that we are all sinners in the eyes of God, all of us. We're all found guilty. That's why Jesus came to free us from our sins. All right, so we move on. The next step of the process. Verse 16. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Right? If this private opportunity to announce sins isn't taken at heart, and that person doesn't try to do better, you are to take two or three others with you. Now, how challenging is that? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but if you've ever been a part of intervention, or even maybe seen it on TV, right? Where you have this group of people and they confront, right? They confront a person that is struggling with sin, addiction, whatever it is. It's tough. But it is what Jesus tells us to do. He instructs us to find those additional witnesses so that you can safeguard and protect yourself from misunderstanding. Now, again, I've witnessed this in the church. I've witnessed this in the world. You probably have seen it in the workplace, right? It's tough stuff. And then you move on. Verse 17. Now, this is challenging. If they still refuse to listen, you've called their sin out, you had two or three others meet with them and intervene. Tell the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan, a non-believer, or a tax collector. Now, if you're familiar with the Amish community, right? And they practice today shunning of people. Now, this is what this verse kind of tells us. That, you know, you've tried to resolve sin. You've approached them. You've brought two or three others. You've gone now to the church. Now, just imagine. We put a person on trial right here in front of the congregation. That would be tough, wouldn't it? Amen? You guys ready to do that? No, not me either. All right? You brought them to the church. They refused to listen to any amount of reason. Now you're supposed to treat them as a non-believer. That's tough. And we're not talking about forgiveness. We can forgive the person because that's what Jesus also tells us to do, right? To continue to forgive. But there is a level of accountability. As Christians, we are to have active faith. And this type of accountability and conflict management is what Jesus gives us as the example. Now, what really scares me is when church leadership doesn't understand that Jesus gave us this example. I've spoken to bishops who did not understand Matthew 18. Again, right? We have to be able to have some level of Christian accountability that comes from a place of love. And that's what it is. In many churches, this is a part of their church constitution. That this is the process. And I believe it's somewhat in ours as well. Right? That this is the process in which we deal with. Now, as we kind of continue to turn from this to verses 18 to 20, it says this, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Right? So again, we got to walk through this. There's several things here. First, it says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." We're talking about forgiveness. That if we forgive somebody, God forgives us also. Right? It tells us that in Scripture. That we are to forgive our brothers and sisters. Now, if you have anybody on your heart this morning that you have not forgiven, it's not always about that other person, is it? It's about you. You forgiving that person as our Father in heaven forgives them. And sometimes that is harder than it sounds, right? There's been lots of people in my life that have hurt me, and I mean, for years, did not totally forgive them until God made it a priority in my life that I had to do it. And I've shared some of those stories with you in the past, but I want you to think about that in your own life. Is there someone in your life today that you need to forgive, you need to let go, because we are commanded by Jesus to do so? And you hear those incredible testimonies, right? Like these men and women on death row, and the victim's family forgives those that murdered their family members. I mean, just the complete worst case scenario. And in these words, it also gives us an establishment of the keys of the kingdom, right? That God, through the apostles, has given us this authority on earth. We recognize that forgiveness and reconciliation are not just something that God does, but he's given to his church, that we are to forgive each other. Now, this is kind of an interesting point here for me. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So again, as we're processing as a church, where is the Holy Spirit leading St. James? I am listening for those areas of agreement, right? Where is God calling us together? Where are our prayers together? Where is our unity among God's people? For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. All right, and so there's a men's Bible study talked about this week, right? We've always thought about this as this kind of positive thing, right? Where, you know, two or three are gathered, God's there. But it's also talking about Christian accountability, right? That we have two or three witnesses in what we do here on earth. Now, among the youth, among the adults that are still working, right? It is important, isn't it? It's important to have forgiveness. It's important to have accountability. But it is uplifting that God is with us. Here at our church right now, there's definitely more than two or three gathered in his name, listening to his word, proclaiming the gospel, singing his songs of praise and thanksgiving. But these verses, this is off script, these verses have the ability to change congregations for the good across the United States. Just like the rest of the world is in turmoil, the devil is using everything he can to split God's church, be that politics, disagreement, COVID, you know, stuff, masking, non-masking, again, Democrat, Republican, you know, public school, non-public school. I mean, you name it. There is stuff that is dividing this country every day, and he is trying to use it in the church to separate and cause conflict. But we have to, in God's church, follow this path. Follow this path of Matthew 18. And I've seen churches that have done it really well, and they've grown, and they thrive, and they do God's mission because they keep the first thing, the gospel. And they've had others, and they make the small things the major things, and it causes churches to split, right? Again, I've shared, I know a church, a friend of mine, decided to build a new wing for their daycare, and half the congregation didn't agree, so what do? They split the church, right down the street from each other. That is not God's wish. Are his will. His will and wish for us to be faithful to his word, to love each other, to forgive each other, to be united in mission and vision. And so this week, you know, look through these verses again. It's very challenging to me to sit here and preach it at you this morning because I've lived it. I understand it. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Through these verses. But it's so vital that we follow this setup that Jesus gives us here at St. James. And so I'm so glad that here at our church, the main thing, the main thing.
We don't get lost in the weeds.
Moments of disagreement? Absolutely. We'll have moments of disagreement.
And that is okay.
Right? It sticks when we disagree and we're conflicted. God gets us through it because he is helping us grow together. Amen? Amen. I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to be able to see where God, again, what God's going to do for this next year. A chance after you eat tacos today, go down the Christian education wing has been painted thanks to Allison and Christian over the weekend. It was finished up. Neil's working on it some more. God is doing some great things. So next Sunday, we're going to feed you again. So we're just going to feed people till they keep coming back, right? We got pancakes next week right after church. And then we have Sunday school officially starting. And we have Sunday school for the little bitty kids that are 3 years old all the way through high school. And guess what? You're going to get fed every Sunday morning during Sunday school hour, right? So you have no excuse. You have to stay and go to Sunday because we want our congregation to be discipled in God's holy word. So we're making that a priority for this next season together. So I'll finish preaching. I see yawning back there, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the ministry here at St. James. Lord, this is a tough scripture this morning. Lord, to be honest, if it wasn't for the lectionary, I might have skipped it. But Lord, we thank you that you have put it before us, that you continue to teach us how to love each other, how to grow in Christ together, Lord, and how we navigate disagreements. Lord, help our council, especially, and myself, be an example of this model of conflict management. Lord, that we can grow together as Jesus is calling our church to grow. I pray all this in Christ's name.